Good evening. Yes, good evening.
What's up, world? You have throat issues.
No, I said I was doing my customary. Hello, good evening. All right. Hello, good evening. How are we doing? Oh, wait. Oh, shit. That's me. Oh, I'm Sky. I'm Fly. Who am I? Straight out of Southwest Atlanta, where the players dwell, living pretty well, where the seashore shell, whatever. It's in the Southern California beach wells. And I'm with who?
What's up, world? It's your girl, Silves, VA all day, two up, two down, chilling in. Wow, it is loud outside. Lovely Los Angeles. It is hot today. So, one feeling that, like 90 in the valley. So, that was fun for me. But yeah, chilling, enjoying life, not rhyming, but I'm here.
Okay, so who are we? We are Shea Butter FC, a podcast featuring two black women's perspectives on soccer, football, and everything in between.
Delivering content with soul and seasoning that'll moisturize your skin.
And lay your edges.
And deepen your love for all things black women.
Okay, so today is part two of a crossover that happened with the tall ones. We have the tall ones here.
We do.
Birthday girl, Courtney Stiff, Coach Stiff.
It is not my birthday anymore.
It don't matter.
Birthday girl.
We haven't seen you in two weeks, so we're gonna do it now.
Yes.
One time for the birthday.
How are you, Courtney?
Go ahead, because it's your birthday. Fuck it up, because it's your birthday. Okay, so I'm done.
I was like, how long is she gonna go? Exhausted per usual. That's basically my life at the moment.
Building character.
I'm always tired. It's actually character degrading. It's not even character building at this point. it's character breaking.
Okay, it's true.
Right. Queen of the naps.
Well, we're happy to have you here. An old tall one, skyscraper, Deacon Skyscraper. How are you, Andre?
I'm good. Happy to be here.
What? Y'all need to have some pep in y'all step. You need to be excited. I got on my glasses. I can't really see. But anyway, well, we're here. We're going to do this crossover. What we going to do? We're going to talk about the NWSL. We're going to recap the weekend, kind of, sort of. And then we're going to talk about we're at the halfway point of the NWSL season. And we're going to talk about these NWSL teams and see, I guess, what's good, what's not. And then we're going to do some hits and riffs and rants and raves and be quickly up out of here. So, how shall we start?
I guess we can go over the last weekend of games. So technically we've just passed the halfway point. So each team, surprisingly, everybody's played the same amount of games this year. We have not had those luxuries the past few years. So right now everyone has played 12 matches, with 10 to go, because everybody plays 22 in a 12 player league. I think just checking in. There were obviously 6 games this past weekend. The first was the SoCal rivalry, because I refuse to call it the other thing, which was won by Angel City 2-1. North Carolina played Orlando and won 3-0. The Houston Dash and OL Reign played in one of the most oppressive heat in recent memory. Ended up being a 0-0 draw. Racing. Played Gotham and won.
There it is. Thank you.
Chicago and Portland played, and Portland won that match 3-2. And the last match of the weekend was Kansas City and Washington, which also ended 3-2 for the Spirit.
Okay. So, would you have any thoughts of any of these games? I don't know. When Andre, how did you feel about any of these games this weekend? Did anything jump out to you?
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was a really good weekend in NWSL games. I mean, I think Angel City really needed that win. Getting the 2-1 over San Diego was huge, turning that around. I think North Carolina looked real scary against Orlando Pride. The Pride have been looking good, so that was concerning. Louisville, 2-0 over Gotham. Did not see that coming. The Thorns without Becky, we talked about it on the other pod when they don't have Becky in defense, things get a little weird. In Chicago, been one of the worst teams in the league. So to give up 2 goals to them, good news for them is they got Sophia Smith and Crystal Dunn and players in attack that are kind of bonkers. So they won 3-2. And the Spirit had a crazy comeback. I mean, they went down 2-0 in the first, 23 minutes? Mm-hmm. And then had to work the rest of the game to come all the way back, which is something they ain't never done in the history of the franchise. So, I thought it was a crazy weekend.
Yeah, I think two comeback wins. I think that makes for a good NWSL weekend. And we almost had another comeback draw. Portland scores a lot of goals, and that's a good thing because,
they said goals are free. You get a goal. Not
great. You get a goal. Sneaky good, right? They're ranked really high in a lot of these categories, but they concede multiple goals in most games. I think the Ring game and the Orlando game, and then that one bad game Louisville had against them. But, outside of that, for the most part, they conceded multiple goals. It is very much it doesn't matter. We have Sophie Smith. And we have that attack. We have a lot of attacking players, and that's the style of football, and they leave themselves very open. Like you said, how Becky Sovereigners lead that back line. It looks like it. It's a drop-off between Becky and the rest of that back line. But it also probably won't matter because they'll score enough goals. Angel City clearly had a tumultuous week leading up to that. The firing of Freya Coombe and Becky Tweedy. Took Becky Tweed stepping in as interim coach to get a win. And that was a there's a lot of defender scoring goals this week, which is very interesting. I think every goal in that Angel City, the SoCal rivalry was a defender goal. A banger of a goal by McNabb. And they shot it where Sid LaRue had just left. Sid LaRue might have been the second best defender for Angel City in that game. I like what North Carolina is doing. They're doing something different. They're playing possession football in the NWSL, which is not typically what teams do. But they've built that system around the players they have. And they got Carolyn.
Yeah.
Who, for my money, is probably the best player in the league right now. Sylvia Smith exists. I think it's MVP. A conversation.
Yeah.
But in one game, she just jumped to the lead in the golden boot race. It wasn't. And it is very much as she is the goal scorer on that team. You know who you have to stop. It does not seem to matter. She's on that Benzema kick right now where it's just inevitable. She's going to score or she's going to create, do something. It's a and Courtney, you were probably the first person on the Carolyn train. She's the truth.
I was. I'm the conductor.
Claim it.
I'm truth. The conductor of the Carolyn train.
And there were real questions when Davinia left that team. Who was going to pick up the slack? And doesn't seem to matter that much. They have their moments, but that back line has stepped up. There's a lot of players on that team that are good football players that you might not be household names anymore, right? Particularly since that championship run North Carolina team sort of disbanded. I think there's two, maybe three original players left on that team from those years. So it's been an interesting rebuild, but they've done it well, and I actually think that's a really likable team. They've made some good changes to make that possible. Let's see. Yeah, I think that DC game, to me that was a smash and grab. I don't necessarily think DC played their best game. But I also think one, Kansas City has to put away their chances, and they probably needed that game, particularly with the 2-0 lead. And I think she just won Player of the Week, actually. But, yeah, Mickey Young's done a job. Didn't see that coming. Especially being converted to center back. Outside back, we've seen that.
Mm-hmm.
That's a different – center back's a different beast. She's doing well. We'll see what it looks like throughout the second half of the season, but certainly in the first half of the season, I think – they found something. And so I think it helps being next to Sam Stahl. I really do. Who's consistent and plays pretty much every minute of every game. I think that's been interesting. I don't know. I feel like I'm rambling about the league. But yeah, I thought it was a fun weekend. I think we've had some really fun weekends. We've had some really meh weekends so far. And I'm really interested to see what it's going to look like with the 3 or 4 games for the World Cup. And I'm also really interested to see what it looks like when people come back, because some teams are losing a lot. Some teams are losing very little. And I think that matters. And I know it's not typically tradition for people to sort of come from below the playoff line and climb the table. But my argument, my sort of counter argument to that is also, in a World Cup year, we've never had six playoff spots before. So I'm very interested to see what it looks like now that there are two extra playoff spots and three extra teams from the last time we did the World Cup players transitioning back into the league. And if the World Cup don't go well, I'm not sure mentally all of those players are going to be on it.
Well, also the interesting thing about this break is that there are no league games. Like, there are no regular season league games. There's still the Challenge Cup, but there are no regular season games. So even if teams, like, you know, do hit a good stride of form, it's like, okay, well, was it kind of a fluke? Because a lot of, like, I would actually say a good amount of teams in the league are going to miss players. I think it's a lot more than we're, like, originally seeing, because there are a few rosters that are still, like, technically need to be final rosters announced. We've actually seen a lot of provisional rosters, but, like, yeah, I mean, honestly, there are a good amount of teams. Like, off the top of my head, I can think, I mean, obviously it's Gotham, OL Reign, like, Portland's going to be missing some players, but even, like, teams like Orlando, Racing Louisville's now missing more players, more international players. Houston as well. Like, I think there are going to be a lot of teams in the league that are going to be missing, especially when I think about, like, a lot of players' attacks or teams' attacks and things like that. A lot of players are going to be missing from that attack or even down their spine. So, I don't know. It's going to be fascinating. I still think the league should have taken a break. I know there's technically an international break at the beginning of the window that covers, I believe, the group stage, but yeah, it's going to be interesting seeing how teams cope over the next few weeks.
Yes. I was going to say, before we hop into that, because you kind of still.
Sorry.
From the games, the weeks of the last week's game, yeah, it was cool seeing Carolyn is Carolyn. You shouldn't have to play a game that hot. In the case of what Houston and OL Reign did, because that messes up soccer performance.
It's very dangerous.
It's very dangerous.
People passed out. Like,
yeah,
that's not okay.
That's not safe.
Well, 2 years ago, Gotham. It was Gotham, Chicago.
Oh yeah.
And one of the Chicago players had to come out.
Yeah.
And it was like a particularly like extremely hot day in New York and extremely humid. But I very specifically remember that. Like, a player was like, they're subbed. We think they have heat stroke.
Yeah.
I also really thought that the NWSL had a protocol against that already. That's the thing that I was confused about. I thought that they had some sort of temperature limit. And if they don't, need to get on that protocol, like, right now. Because that was ridiculous.
Because OL and Gotham played that 100-plus degree game, like, 2 years ago. It was, like, the last year we played in Cheney. That was miserable.
There are, like, so for heat, I remember this because of all these real hot games. FIFA has protocols for heat, and, like, it has to do with, like, the wet bulb, which I don't want to delve into right now. But it's basically, it's like I don't know how they measure the wet bulb, but I know it's very specifically called the wet bulb, and that's how they measure, like, heat index. And the reason why I remember this also is because for those occasionally really, really frigid games that we, like, very, you know, sometimes see in the NWSL, it's that FIFA also does not have protocols for when it's really, really cold. But yeah, with that, the NWSL should have policies and procedures, but they don't. Like, technically, Andre, we have not had a podcast since the entire Northeast just had smoke descend upon us. But, like, also that was a Gotham game that got canceled. And there were also no protocols, like, not a single protocol of, like, hey, there's a wildfire, even though we have teams in Southern California. And
played this game midday in Southern California. I need people to understand, like, they're not playing, like, next to the beach. They're playing in the desert. And so 77 degrees is not hot in a sense, but it's dry heat. And, like, the stadiums, even BMO, the way it's built, like, it's not necessarily welcoming for you to be playing at 1 o'clock on a day to try to get 1 o'clock Pacific Standard Time to try to get on CBS. Like, that needs to be a night game, just for people's safety, particularly in the stands, so you don't have people falling out. But yeah, like, there needs to be some heat protocols, because some of these games are like, woo, you know, wonky because of the heat. I will say, with the Angel City, it was cool to see the introduction of some tactics and adjustments. We'll talk about that as we talk about teams through this episode. But it was nice to see. Yeah, that game was fun to watch in person. Way better experience than what we experienced last year, to note. And yeah, let me see. Yeah, I mean, anything else from the other games? I mean, DeMelo was balling, and that's why she got the call. You ball, you get the call. And yeah, a lot of these games are really fun. It was a fun weekend for sure.
I have some notes about Gotham, because they've hit a few bumps in the road. But the interesting thing about the Racing Louisville game was that they they didn't score any goals, but across the board statistically, like, outshot Louisville, had more shots on target, like more entries in the final third. Like, it was, and there were a few times where also, like, Katie Lund in the defense was scrambling. Mm-hmm. And so, I don't know, the interesting thing about, oh, I guess I'm talking technically a little bit more about Racing Louisville, is, like, I feel like right now they're creating a lot of opportunities and being clinical in those opportunities, but they, on the flip side, they're also allowing their opposition to have a lot of opportunities. Like, right now, Katie Lund leads the league in saves for this season. And if I remember correctly, I think she's also leading, like, the negative XG. So she's preventing a lot of goals, which is good, but it's also, like, you are also allowing other teams to get into the final third and, like, into your box, and they're just not finishing, either through, like, their poor finishing or through your, like, incredible goalkeeping, too.
Yeah. But I think that's the advantage of having a shot stopper like Lund, right? Because I don't think she's great with her feet. Like, they tried to play out the back a few times. I was like, ooh, what are we doing there? Mm-hmm. Having said that, I thought they had a fairly good game plan against Gotham. And, yeah, Hal won that one. Hal is starting to come true, come true here.
She was good. Expectations. But also, like, technically Kelly O'Hara, like, hits the post from a point blank header.
Yeah. But I mean, like, Louisville also probably missed. They were efficient, but they also had a few sitters that they missed. Like, Ari definitely should have made one. So, and I mean, Uche finally scored, but, like, Uche's had the worst luck in terms of trying to score.
Wait, do you mean ball.
They have really good attacking players.
Timmy scored.
Yeah. And so I think they're kind of like Portland in that way, but I think Lund's a better goalkeeper. Like, and so that probably helps them. I think there's still work to do, but that defense should be pretty solid throughout the break. Like, it's the same players. So maybe on the other side of that, that defense improves, or maybe they need a year. I don't really know. But they also might score enough to win, and they're willing to get down and dirty with teams who like to hit people in the mouth. They hit them back. And so we'll see what that looks like. But they have to keep getting wins to get a lot of draws early. They are a draw FC this year. So, I think we'll see what it looks like.
All right. So let's talk, because we're at the halfway point. It's judgment time, the halfway point. So let's talk about this league table now that we're here. Everybody's played an equal amount of games. So what are we thinking?
Let me run through it really quick for the people. Okay. So currently in first place is Spirit with 23 points. Portland is second with 22. North Carolina is third with 20. And in fact, North Carolina, Oil Rain, and Suave all have 20 points. So it's absolutely based on either head-to-head or goal differential. Gotham is sitting in sixth with 18 points. The Houston Dash are in seventh with 17 points. Rossing is in eighth with 15. Orlando is in ninth with 13. Angel City is in 10th with 12. Chicago is sitting at 10 and in 11th. And bringing up the bottom of the table is Kansas City. every team has 10 games left. And yeah, I don't even know. This is a pretty unpredictable season. What are you all feeling about the second half of the season? Do you think any of those teams outside of the playoff picture have a shot? Do you trust all six of the teams in the playoff picture at the moment?
I think it gets wonky because you have at the bottom, people are going to get healthy. We still haven't seen the return of Kristen Press for Angel City. And then I guess Kansas City Current will get all the rest of their people healthy, hopefully. I think the biggest thing is like the goal spread isn't so ridiculous that somebody at the bottom can't jump into the playoff spot. It isn't like so far away that it's like, oh, I'm going to go miss it. Like, if you lay your cards right, you can do it. That's why it's not victories in May, June. You better be showing up, you know, whatever games for the rest of the season, because you very well could fall out the playoff picture. I think it's tighter than people anticipate. If you stacked your points early, cool, but you still need to play through it, or you're going to start tumbling through the table. It could go. I think people can hop up.
I think four of those six teams, and I don't have any clue which four of the six. I think four of those six teams easily make the playoffs. I think the logjam is probably between 6 and 10, or like 5 and 10.
Wouldn't that be 3 and 10? Because taking the 3, 4, 5.
Damn, there are three teams tied. And
WSL.
Oh man, chaos lives here. I think it'll be interesting. I think there are a few teams that are missing really big pieces that they're getting back. I mean, I think the very glaring one is Angel City. They get a superstar back. Like, if she's any kind of healthy, she's still one of the best players this league's ever had. You mentioned Kansas City Current, right? Like, we know Hannah Glass is not going to the World Cup. Morgan Gautreau is back. She played 45, and honestly, that's the best Kansas City look. True. Maybe all season. It was that first half when she was there, because she's an adult in their midfield and they haven't had one of those. I don't know for them if there's enough time, and DeBean is leaving, right? Like, I think there are levels to this, though. I think CZ Kaiser is a very good player. I think they have a defense problem.
Yeah, they got a defense problem.
And I don't know how quickly that's going to get rectified, though I think it's very admirable what that backline is doing. I'm interested to see what Houston and Louisville do as they lose certain key pieces. Houston keeps, though, their front line. Like, they keep Salmon, they keep Ordonez, and they keep
Sanchez.
I think a problem for them is Alozie's been arguably their best player, and she's gone with Nigeria. So we'll see how long she's gone. But I think she's been a real engine and spark for them. And when they acknowledge that they are a counter-attacking team, it goes pretty well for them. Same with Louisville. I'm interested to see what the re-immersion of all of those international players looks like post-World Cup, because people are going to come back at different times for them, would be my assumption. And so what does that look like for them, and how much depth do they actually have? Though I think I just saw today Riley Parker is coming back, because she's not going to be with Tigres anymore. And so we'll see how they integrate those pieces. And I think you have the teams that are missing a lot of people, like Oil Rain, like Gotham between U.S. and other internationals, D.C., those kind of teams that are going to lose a decent amount of players. I'm interested to see how they reintegrate them into that. And for a team like San Diego, one of their best players is their goalkeeper. She's not going to be there. And the 2-8-1. Yeah, I'm just super interested, and I think there will be some movement. I don't think the whole table's going to flip.
No.
But I think one or two of those teams below the playoff line is going to win. Like, if there are 10 games left, they'll probably win 7 of them, right? And I think that absolutely changes the table, and everybody at the top has to play everybody at the bottom, et cetera, for the most part. So I'm here for chaos. That's what I'm here for.
I was going to say one thing before you say something, Andre. I was going to say one thing, though, is because people are going to the World Cup, and World Cup can do a lot on, give you a lot of wear and tear, as people come back, like, who's coming back actually healthy? And then when are they coming back? Because usually with the World Cup, they get a break because they play so many games. Are they going to integrate And then that's going to impact league games, actually, I think. Yeah. So.
Well, no, like, it will, because that's... They have a... There's an international break, then they have those three Challenge Cup games, but then, like, the World Cup players come back, and if they're allotted a break, that means they're missing, like, a regular season league game as well. Mm-hmm. The most interesting thing for me is going to be the return of, let's say, those talismanic players for each team. So, obviously, for Angel City, that's Chris and Press, but also for, like, a Gotham. Midge is back healthy. Not healthy enough in time for the World Cup, but, like, at times, Gotham hasn't really had a lot of, let's say, like, creativity in the final third, or someone who can really go 1v1 right. outside of, like, I guess kind of Yasmin Ryan. She's still a firecracker, but, like, she, you know, she doesn't go 1v1 in the same way that, like, a player like Midge will. And so, yeah, I think the return of those really big players for teams is also just going to cause a lot of chaos in a good way. But, yeah, I've 100... If I'm being my most honest self, I, like, kind of expect a lot of the table to shake up. I mean, what, in the past 2 weeks, 2 to 3 weeks, we've had 5 different teams at the top of the table at any point in time. Yeah, like, yeah, there is still, between 6th and 1st place, there is a 6-point gap. And between technically 6th and 3rd place, there's a 2-point gap. So, like, a lot of things could change. Even though I think my questions really fall to, I'm, like, curious about a team like the Chicago Red Stars, who, like, is this break going to really help them? You know,
they're gonna get a new coach.
Like, if they get a new coach, but, like, potentially, like, I don't know, more time to, like, shake things up. Maybe you see a player like Casey Kruger or Tierna Davidson really step up, because they're like, I should have been on that plane for the World Cup. Mm-hmm. So, but, like, also at the same time, and, you know, I think they're keeping I'm pretty sure they're keeping everyone but Alyssa. Maybe Bianca St. George goes. No, oh, wait, no,
Chyna,
I don't think.
Chyna Matthews.
Oh, yeah. Have they announced?
Did no, they? But she was on the provisional.
She was on provisional.
Ah, okay. Yeah. So, yeah, that's like, you know, 2 players when other teams were losing 6, 7, 8, like, right. Gotham in the press conference today was like, we are 100% signing national team replacement players, and it's like, cool, you have like, you're probably gonna have like 6 players missing. So it's gonna be interesting to see how also, like, maybe teams build, like, what the international window, like, for signing stuff has reopened.
So. It opens, like, right after the World Cup starts, I think. Or right before.
Oh, yeah. So something it's, like, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how teams cope also.
Right. And who they might go after, right? Because if you're going after, say, a European player, they're probably not going to come until after the World Cup at this point. That's the case with Angel City, right? Like, it's most likely Amandine Henry who signed with them. Is it going to come until after the World Cup, considering assuming she makes the squad, which I think she will. I think that'll be interesting. And, like, that's one team that's not losing a lot of pieces. They're literally losing 3 players to the World Cup. Houston's not losing a ton of pieces to the World Cup, though they are important pieces.
I think they're missing. They'll miss, right. Like, Alozi, Schmidt, Chapman.
And Prince. That's it.
Well, I guess Prince hasn't really been in the mix for them, but yeah, I feel like Prince, they're missing. Been.
No, it's. I think it's 3.
I thought they had another international that they were. Who am I thinking?
Not that's going, because I mean, you're talking about Mexico and then Ebony and England.
Yeah.
No, there's someone else I'm thinking about. It'll come back to me. I'm trying to think of who I'm thinking about.
But even then, I don't think it's anybody who's a regular starter for them.
I was going to.
They're good. Like, Orlando will lose a few pieces, but they're not losing a ton. So, yeah, it'll be interesting. Chicago's not losing a ton. Like, there are a handful of teams that probably won't need national team replacement players. And then there's also other teams who will lose a lot of people and get, you know, replacement players. But they've also been building their depth. Like, my team knew they were losing a bunch of players. Yeah. They built it out early to be able to kind of make it through that.
I was going to say, because they're playing Challenge Cup games, I think that could be advantageous to somebody like Angel City or even Kansas City if they were getting healthy to play or even Houston to figure out what's happening, who is attacking where and how, to actually use those games to figure out some things if they have enough people, particularly if you're keeping most of your people on your team, to get in rhythm, which could be a problem because then, you know, for others, because then you're getting in rhythm when they're coming back and they still don't have their national team players, that they're off and running, where another team is like having to reset and regroup to whatever they got coming back from the World Cup. That's one thing. But wait, tall one. Oh,
I remember. I remember the two players. One, I forgot that Michaela Bam doesn't play for them anymore, but yeah, also technically Havana Solowon.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, there's a player.
I also forget, but she doesn't start for them regularly right now.
I don't know what Sam Laidy's doing.
Yeah, she doesn't start for them regularly. Yeah. She definitely comes in, but she doesn't start for them regularly.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. They're not losing a ton in terms of that starting lineup, though I think Chapman's been pretty good for them this year, which is not something I thought I'd say. But so I think that actually might be a miss. But they,
I mean, her and Schmidt.
Yeah,
I think Schmidt's resurgence has mattered to them. So like, they're important pieces, but they're not. I think they're pieces they can replace, particularly considering what other teams are losing.
Right.
So yeah, I think, yeah, tall one. We've been running our mouths. If you want to,
oh, scraper, please.
No, I mean, I pretty much agree. I do think that this is going to be a very interesting return from the World Cup because they're going to be very far away. So I don't think it's like when players come back from France, right? Like the last World Cup, it's probably going to take a minute. So, and the timing of that could also be very interesting depending on who makes the final, who makes the semis and all of that. So like, I think you're going to have to give players like a week at least to kind of get themselves ready and then, you know, back to match fit and everything. So I think, you know, and I was looking at it because the Spirit play Portland on the 27th, that's 7 days after the final. If for whatever reason, the U.S. Women's National Team happens to be in there, I don't think you're going to see a lot of players in that game. And you probably shouldn't because that's too much travel. That's too much. So that's going to be interesting. In terms of the table, yeah, I do think it's going to shake up. I mean, the Spirit are on top and that's dope for them. Like, it's fun. But like they had to score 3 unanswered goals in order to get those 3 points because they were down 2-0. And they could have been, what, 5th, I think, with the goal difference would have probably put them 5th. So like that could have been a bit of a problem for them. So like the margins are really, really thin. The problem that I have with some of these teams outside is they got some pretty big problems. Like Angel City really needs, I think with new coach and with Kristen Press coming back, I'm kind of backing them to make some noise. Orlando too. I think Orlando is much, people are finally starting to see when we all were talking before the season, talking about Orlando and people were like, yeah. And I was like, nah, Orlando's really building something. So we've gotten glimpses. I think they can go to another level. And I think they will in the second part of the season. But my biggest problem is Louisville. That coach is not getting the best out of that squad. I don't care. If you look at that squad, it is so damn good. There's no reason why they should be outside of a playoff spot. No reason at all. That squad, talent-wise, can stack up with pretty much anybody outside of, like, maybe Portland and OL Reign. Like, that squad is nasty. Houston, another coach I got questions about. Why in the hell are you going to bring in Deanna Ordonez and you don't have a plan for how to play her and Ebony Salmon? So now Ebony Salmon is sitting back on the bench when she had that problem at Louisville, despite her being one of the most rare things you can find in this league, which is a consistent goal scorer. So I don't understand it. I think we're going to mess around and lose her out of this league, and I wouldn't blame her, but it makes me, I'm real frustrated because when she got there, she balled out, and there was no reason for them during the draft to make that move if they didn't really have a plan.
Right.
And making her play as a winger is not the plan. That was stupid.
The only thing I will also say about players returning, I have been to that side of the world, like when the time difference is like 13 plus hours. And if I'm being, and like, yes, I'm not an elite athlete, but like at the time I was 20, so I was very young, springing my step. And it still took me a solid, I'm going to say, like 3+ days, like just to get used to everything my body was doing in the night, doing it in the day. Like, yeah. It takes a while to reacclimate when you have, like, it's one thing when you're going from, like, let's say East Coast to West Coast, or like, you know, New York to parts of Europe where you have like a 5-6 hour time difference. Like when it's like, cool, I was asleep this time 2 days ago. You're like, cool, I just need to be outside with the sun for 12 straight hours and then like hope my body adjusts. It's like that time difference is a huge adjustment.
West Coast teams struggle to play 1 o'clock games on the East Coast, right? Because they're playing at 10 o'clock and they're with their body. Extrapolate that times, what's the time difference? Like
13, 16 hours, depending on where you are.
Then you're in the next day, right? Or if you're flying the other way, you're flying backwards in time. But it's going to throw their body off, even with them having gone over in January to kind of acclimate. There's no prep for being there for 2 to 4 weeks, basically. So I honestly think most of those players will miss 2 games, which I think you get into that 3 to 5 game territory, which for a team clawing their way back, like if you can bust out 5 wins in a row, that's 15 points. Like, or if you can get 12 in a draw, like that matters when those teams that really need those pieces, those players have to sit out and you basically get like a 5 or 6 game run out of them to see what you can do. And again, last World Cup, there were 4 playoff spots and now there are 6, right? There is more hope for those teams now than there was on that last return. And so, yeah, I think there's definitely going to be some shakeup there
for sure. Yeah. Because I mean, even think of somebody like Utah came out of being far away from the playoff and they hopped into the playoff race in a month. So during the post-World Cup. So, I mean, that very well could happen. Particularly, I didn't even think about that. That whole 16-hour, 13-hour time difference. Oh, boy. Yeah.
It's huge.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not looking forward to it. But at least I'd be there. So there we go. Okay. So I think we're talking about the table. And then we have some just individual statistics. So obviously the big race that everybody talks about is the Golden Boot race, which is currently being led by Kierlin with 8 goals. You have Sophia Smith with 7. You have a tie between Lynn Williams and Ashley Hatch at 6. And you have a slew of players. I think it's Alex Morgan, Debina, Savannah DeMello. I might be missing
Crystal Dunn.
And Crystal Dunn all have 5 goals. So, yeah, I think pretty much all those players are going to the World Cup. So, who is up for Ashley Hatch, I think. So, who knows what that looks like on the back end. And we'll see how much headway Hatch makes while those players are missing. Again, bearing in mind that she probably will play a lot of Challenge Cup games as well, where those statistics don't count, or they have their own category. The assist leader is actually Sophia Smith with 5. Her teammate Sam Coffey is right behind her with 4, as is Megan Rapinoe, and then Julie Bianchi. Am I saying that right?
Bianchi. Another. Oh, wait. Isn't she?
I don't think she's going to the World Cup, though.
Really?
I'm not sure. We'll see what Brazil does. I think she's a bubble player.
I'm going to do some Googles. Because she's, she's Brazilian.
Yeah,
she's also another. Look, they're filled with ballers.
Ballers everywhere, man.
We're going to talk about that.
Ballers everywhere.
And then Claire Emsley has 3 assists along with Julia Bianchi. An obscene work rate, I think I was looking. I think she's also taken the most corner kicks in the league or something like that. Shots on goal, Sophia Smith. And then like Lynn Williams, Trinity Rodman, Ashley Hatch, and Adriana. And then saves, as you mentioned, Katie Lund. And then some just team statistics. So, I'm super interested. Again, keeping in mind that many players are going to be missing for at least a couple of games. Who do you have for the Golden Boot? I'm throwing it out there.
Oh, no. This gets interesting because, again, we'll still have a few games. I don't know.
Sorry. I think Bianchi is probably gonna going to go. Because she represented Brazil at the Olympics, and she was called up for the She Believes Cup.
Oh, okay. Then, yeah. So, Chicago's losing Bianchi as well.
I was like, she's been, like, out of a... We know the writing on the wall about Chicago, but she has also been good for them. Andre, I have a question for you. Do you think Ashley Hatch has the capacity to go on a revenge tour?
Wow.
without Trinity Rodman and Ashley Sanchez.
How many penalties will the Spirit get?
Okay.
But I'm doing this keeping in mind that a lot of why she flourishes is because Trinity Rodman is on that team.
No, 100%. Right. But I'm just like, does she
have the facilities?
Does she have the capacity? Does she have the facility?
You see her more than we do, so I think that's
yeah. I mean, I'm asking you.
I mean, I think the problem with Hatch going on, like, I do think she's really disappointed and sad to not make it. You know, she'd pretty much been in the picture for a year, I would say. She's been in the picture for a while. Got on the pitch, you know, done some things, scored a couple goals. It's been good for her. And it seemed like she was going to go until recently when all of a sudden she wasn't. You know, Pugh goes down, they have to shuffle, things change a little bit. So, or Swanson, apologies. So, like, yeah, I do think it's kind of a devastating thing for her. And I kind of feel a little bit bad because there are so many players on the Spirit who are going. So there's a lot of celebration in front of her face too. And so that probably doesn't feel great. But on the pitch, I mean, I think my biggest problem is just that she has a difficult time creating her own shots or creating shots, period. It's very much reliant on service, very much reliant on, you know, cleaning up in the box when players either, you know, shots at rear, like that shot from Ashley Sanchez that hit the bar and she just happened to be right there to head it in. Good positioning, that's why she's there, but she needed the initial action to get that chance, which is something that is difficult when you talk about a player on their own going on a revenge tour. Like Crystal Dunn went off because Crystal Dunn can go off. You know what I mean? Like she can do whatever she wants. She can score. Yes, she can score when she
wants. Mitch Person 2019 comes to mind, right?
Exactly, yeah, Mitch Person. So these are players that like can create. She's not really one of those. So can she maybe work out some sort of, I mean, she's going to be a focal point because everybody else is gone. So all the other players are younger, especially in attack. They're probably going to be looking for her a lot more than Rodman and Sanchez probably are because both those players can create their own shots. So maybe we'll see what kind of service she gets, but I'm not really looking at revenge tour type numbers for that particular reason.
I was going to say,
Meant Ty Carolyn. We'll see.
Yeah, I was going to say, potentially, I forget. Yeah, it could be Midge Parse's revenge tour coming back.
I don't know if it, I think it's partially revenge tour, but not like.
Like, not injured.
To me, not in the same way as, like, for example, like 2019.
Yeah.
Just because she was quite simply injured. And so, like, you know.
If we're looking at revenge tours, I'm looking straight at L.A.
Yeah.
You know what's crazy.
Sydney,
you know,
LaRue
the vibes.
And Kristen
Sydney
Press.
LaRue and Kristen Press.
LaRue's already come back on a mission.
Yeah.
I just went like four or five games of Press, LaRue, Thompson. I just want to see
Same.
I just want to
watch
see
defenses implode. Yes.
Right? Not even like, and you still got to figure out how to get, you kind of need Emsley. Like, she is the facilitator for that team. Jun Endo would be back. Like, I'm interested to see that healthy. I don't know how much time it has, but I don't want that to, that's the team where I'm like, if it's healthy, I really don't want to see them in the playoffs.
Yes, you do. It builds some character. It would be, it would be beautiful for my pores and my life and our soul. It'd be great.
I think it's a timing thing for them. And obviously getting another coach, and I'm assuming they might make that hire during the break. Just to have sort of a clean line of delineation. Like you said, I think Louisville just continually underperforms for the talent that they have.
Yeah, makes no sense.
My assumption is at some point Bevianez has taken that team over and it's going to look real different. And I know she's a stickler. She used to play for my team. I know players listen to her. They respect that she played. And they're missing some vets, too, who probably won't be back till next year. Congrats to Justin McDonald, who's expecting. But, yeah, I think that's a really – I think it's a well-constructed squad that they don't quite know what to do with. And I think the World Cup will affect them because you, again, have so many pieces coming back at different times. I think it's going to take them a few games to get back into their groove, and I don't know if that's enough time.
I'm tripping. Shaw.
I can't wait to see Ali and Shaw. Can't wait. She's going to be forced to play both of them at the same time. Can't wait.
Unfortunately, I do not have the faith that will actually happen.
You don't. Who would I play on the wing? They don't have any wingers out there.
I feel like she's just going to find a way to not do it.
Stoney Ball, don't man. Don't do this to me. Stoney Ball.
Casey Stoney, are you listening? Girl, you better play Amira
Casey,
and
Shaw. You don't have to play suffer ball.
She doesn't. Though I will say it's this. It's in her blood.
I will say this. She loses a Germa, though. Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not the goal scorers that she got a problem with. She's losing Germa. They play with
that. Well, that's the other problem. That's to Courtney's point. Will she play Sean Ali? I don't know, because she's losing Germa, so she's going to really try and tighten up midfield and defense. I mean, she might come out in a 5-4-1 at some point.
Casey, don't do that. No, please. You're right, but don't do that.
Why are you doing? Casey, if you're listening, girl, just play Amira and Shaw at the same time.
Casey.
Let them cook.
The NWSL.
NWSL.
Free Packers, please.
She wants that control. I'm like, you're in the wrong league. I'm sorry.
Free yourself. Yeah, this ain't it. I know Kristen had told you. Get free.
I mean, they got – she's making, like – she's doing well, but I'm just like, there's a limit to that. And she's kind of seen it this season. Like, some of these games, you're just going to get run over. And you need to, you can't go full defensive. You can't.
No. Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I think there's some depth on that team. Maybe not as much as I think they originally thought. But I do think in terms of what else is going to be left in the league, they'll probably be okay.
I was going to say Messiah Bright.
I was thinking Van Egmond.
But she's gone.
She's gone.
No, I know that. Like, that's a big piece. Like, if Australia go deep, which I expect them to do, like,
I think their bigger issue is not just Garma. I think it's Jakobsen, because she is the creator on the wing for them. Yeah. Like, she is the person who sort of gets that offense going and is efficient enough to be able to capitalize on the few chances she gets.
They're going to miss a lot. Sorry to cut you off. They're going to miss a lot of big pieces.
Yeah, they're missing pieces. I think she's been good enough about rotating that it might not hurt them as much as it hurts other teams.
Mm.
And they don't have to play Angel City again in the regular season.
They see the Challenge Cup.
Challenge Cup, yes, but not the regular season.
Wait, question. What does Portland look like?
Well, their front line don't have Weaver. That's another one where I'm like, without that, can she do it herself? Like, I think this is very much her time to be like, I deserve a look, right? She's played really well, but that's a super team, right? And outside of, like, Moultrie, that midfield's gone.
Ooh, Lord.
Coffee's there still.
And Coffee, right? Like, the vast – but Hina's gone. Sinclair's gone.
Is Rocky –
every day Leon's on that team. Gone.
Rocky should Becky's be out.
Janine Becky's out for the season. I don't know when Becky Sauerbrunn's coming back. Rocky Rodriguez is gone and she's been hurt. And yes, they built depth well on that team, but like, who's playing?
Andre, there was some young rookie that you really liked that they drafted.
Reyna
Reyes and Dequila.
Dequila,
Busy,
yeah.
I'm interested to see what she can do.
They're about to play a lot.
Find out.
Well, I think that's a good segue. Like, who are you super excited to see? I mean, Sky, you mentioned it. We are all Messiah Bright truthers.
Yes.
Super interested to see what this looks like, because Orlando is going to play their young players.
Yes.
I'm excited.
That chip on the shoulder tour.
Yeah.
That's a revenge tour.
Let's see. Angel City needs to play Mackenzie Pluck. For the love of God, please play her.
Well, here's my thing with Angel City. I feel like so much would be fixed with Angel City if they could stop being so damn reliant on McCaskill. So I meant to tweet this, but I didn't. So I'm looking at the data, right? I was looking at I think it was Yash on he follows Real Madrid, does a lot of work with the women's team as well, and follows women's football. Put out a data chart on basically what one player kind of runs the show for each team, basically usage rate. And I think McCaskill is one of the top three usage rates in the NWSL. And when you look at the production, it's just not there. And so for me, it's like, and of course, I look at goals added too. That's a metric from American Soccer Analysis. And right now she's negative. I think she's like a negative 0.01 or negative one or something like that. It's like on the borderline, but it's still nowhere near what it should be for a player with that much of the ball. And so for me, I'm like, if she could like share, you know what I mean? Just like not facilitate, move the ball when you need to move it, get into space, receive the ball, do those kinds of things. I think you're looking at something, but until then.
I would like to see her not start a game and just see a regular season game. That would be just to see what it looks like.
Yeah.
Like, I would like to see, one, I don't think you can play her and Katie Johnson at the same time.
No, you cannot.
Do similar things, even though they don't play in the same position. Mm-hmm. But I'd like to see, like, a Weather. One, you should start Danny Weatherholt more. She matters. But, like, a Weatherholt, Camberos, something. Like, just mix it up and see how you can facilitate the ball. One, it gets Claire Emsley a rest because you work her to death. And two, I think there's better ways to get the ball to that front line because what Angel City has decided to do, and I don't think this is the worst idea in the world in WSL, they said, give me all the fast players. Let's see what the fuck happens. They can shoot and let's see what the fuck happens. Like, that's not a terrible strategy in the NWSL. It's really not, particularly if you have a solid enough midfield. Right. If you can get them the ball. And they got two of, like, if they're healthy, they got, like, three of the five or six fastest players out there between Simone, Alyssa, and Kristen, right? Like, good luck to you defending all of those at the same time if everything's out there. So, yeah, I think that's a fair shout. I'm interested to see if Houston can figure out how to get all three of those players on the pitch at the same time, because all three of those players should absolutely be on the pitch
at the same time. You have to figure that out during the break or it's not going to work, or you continue going through this cycle of you got a squad and you can't facilitate it. Like, it's literally because Ebony Simon shouldn't be on the bench. There should be a way that you can figure out to make it happen, or somebody got to go.
Sky.
Yes.
Do they not have the capacity?
Oh, there's a capacity. I'm going to need.
Do they not have the facilities?
Facilities. Does Ebony like beaches? Shit.
Okay.
All right.
We've reached that portion of the program.
Ebony will go back to England if she can't make it work.
Right. Hey, man. She can run centrally. Shit. But anyway. I don't know. He's got to figure that out. That's probably the one team of concern that's like, you're near the playoff line. So what you going to do about it? I guess All Rain will be fine. Y'all built for depth. Y'all out here in the streets.
We sure did.
Y'all just need to kick the ball in the net, though.
And we are free. Olo gets to be the sixth. That's all.
Olo gets to be the sixth. For now, unless they exit early.
That's another one I think might gank her spot permanently. Like, I think she absolutely is going to be like, let me go get the spot real quick, because she can play. That's a sneaky, like, could play the sixth for the national team type player. Like, she's that kind of good. She's going to get Laura don't play her enough.
I was going to say, North Carolina, that's the last team I don't think we really talked about. They're gonna be.
I mean, the loss of Carolyn is huge for them, because that's where most of their goals come from. And they're losing O'Sullivan, who's had a really good year for them, I think.
But they're losing Casey Murphy.
They're losing Murphy. Oh, shit. They're losing Fox on that back line, though they do have enough outside backs, I feel, to compensate.
Yeah.
Particularly if Pickett's healthy. And they're not losing, is it Miura? Am I saying her name right?
Narumi.
Narumi, sorry.
Yeah.
First name starts with M. Narumi, which I thought was a snub. She's been really good for North Carolina.
Yeah.
That's a revenge tour that might happen right there.
Yeah.
Hold up, though. They are going to miss Denise O'Sullivan, and she has been so damn good. I was looking at her
very
metrics
good
earlier.
For them.
She's been bonkers.
Yeah, she's really good, yeah.
Almost NA, they built that system around her way. Like,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. I do think that backline's been pretty sturdy. Like, I think Ryan Williams is coming to her own. I think Kaylee Curse has had a resurgence. Meredith Speck out here turning back the clock. Like, and apologies, Olivia Wingate. I was not aware of your game.
Yeah, right. My bad. I'm sorry.
My bad.
Baller. Okay.
Baller.
Wingate is nice.
Nice.
I like her. I like the sauce. I like it.
Another one where I said, I did not know she had the capacity.
Yes,
but
she's
in a game or something. I was like, oh no, I didn't know she did that.
Yeah.
So I'm interested to see a few breakout stars. She's another one I would keep an eye on. But yeah.
Ooh.
Orlando.
Gotham. Yasmin Ryan.
Yeah, she'll have a year.
And
maybe nice.
Yasmin Ryan is a firecracker.
What?
You think they'll play Night Swanger, not at
Free Night Swanger.
Well, so no. But only because Gotham, like right now, literally has no outside backs. Like, that's literally the problem. Only outside back is Kristen Edmonds.
Well, you don't need no outside back. You just be out there. Just breathe.
It's no, because literally right now, because it's like, Amani Dorsey is still out. Bruninha is probably going to the World Cup. Kelly is going to the World Cup. Sabrina Flores is injured. The only outside back is if they decide to move Neely Martin back, which I think they should do, but they literally don't like it's that and Kristen Edmonds, but Allie Krieger is injured, so then you don't have that center back. Literally,
you're gonna have to hold some tryouts. Free Night Swanger.
Well, no, they're gonna. They're going to sign players in the off, like in this for national team replacement.
They better be fullbacks.
Literally, the past two weeks, it was like Gotham has virtually no one to play outside back. They quite simply just did not have anyone. They need to sign players. I'm not disagreeing that Night Swanger should not be freed. I'm just saying the squad, like, they don't have anyone to play outside back.
Center back. I mean, you don't have autumn center backs, but just pray.
But they don't even have depth for that.
Well, you just gotta go Allie score.
Allie Krieger's injured.
Oh, that's true.
And, like, she's probably gonna come back, and then it's like you have Ellie Jean, who used to be an outside back, who they converted to a center back, which I think was a smart move.
Yes.
And then you have Kristen Edmonds. Those are also your three. Like, they are secret. Like, I know that they're doing well. Technically they've been unbeaten in. Are there? They've been winless in four. But they literally talk about injury bugs. Not like scooter. Gotham, quite oh, simply, man. Is has I'm that a, injury bug right now.
I'm a speak to. The thing we never talk about. I'll take it back to 2017. Remember when we decided Ali Long belonged in the three at the back? Let's do it. Fucking do it.
But Gotham,
run it back, baby.
Gotham legit needs to sign actually like eight players because they like Sinead's very likely going to the World Cup as well. Like,
which is great, a wonderful.
Story. I mean, that's fantastic. Where she's gonna ball? She's gonna ball on a world stage. I'm gonna be shouting about it so loud. But yeah, like Gotham is losing a lot of players and they quite simply don't have any outside backs. I mean, I hope like Amani Dorsey comes back soon or like, you know, or she comes back when she's ready. But like, you know, that was a lot of Gotham's moves or like exits during the off season. It was like, they lost Caprice Tedesco left mid season. And then also another player who I thought was really, really good, which I wish they had signed to a contract and didn't, was Jenna Bike, who now plays for Chicago.
Yep.
And so it was like...
Yeah, better hit her up.
She plays for Chicago.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they're going to... Like, Gotham genuinely is going to need to sign at least...
Okay, never mind.
Yep.
They're going to need to sign at least 5 to 6 players between injuries and... national team replacement players.
And you might can get out there and go play fullback a little bit.
I would play as a 6.
Oh well, okay. You ready to go to New Zealand?
Do you remember 4-4-2? Do you remember 4-4-2 sweeper stopper?
Sweeper.
Me being quite simply just bigger than everyone since birth.
I know. Like, WBA player.
We don't. No, I was just always a little head up for a long time. They were just like. You know, youth soccer, they're like, big player, go fuck around in the midfield. Or like, go just like bulldoze people, which I did do.
Word. Also for North Carolina, Estelle Johnson should be back. So that should help some things.
I hope so.
What was I going to say? We're going to take a quick break.
Well, she's going to get more playing time. Sorry.
Wait, hold on. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to listen. We're going to hear a message for our sponsors, and then we will be back.
Today's episode of Shea Butter FC is brought to you by the Bounceless Control Sports Bra. The search is over for the support you need in a sports bra. Go from semi-active to your full active self with the sports bra made for the Fuller Bus Squad. Take on those old activities you used to enjoy or pick up new ones in the Bounceless Control Sports Bra. Dance freely to your own beat. Run, skip, jump, or shoot. Do all of this and more without the distraction of the bounce. Feel confident with the full coverage sports bra that controls the bounce. Wire free.
Bounceless Control Sports Bra features moisture absorbing fabric that wicks away sweat and has adjustable straps, so you'll have the comfort you need to take on whatever workout you choose. Want extra support? Use the inside breastband that fits across the top of the bust. Get the support you need to take on any workout as a fuller bust woman. So head on over to bounceless.com and enter promo code SBFC to receive 15% off your first order. And we're back. So which one are we doing?
Are we doing the music first?
I mean, are we ready for music?
Sure.
Or do y'all want to do rants?
Let's get the rants because of the songs we know. So that'll go fast.
Okay, let's go to the rants. All right, rants. Guest. Y'all usually do heated and hype. So yeah,
you can call it heated and hyped if you would like.
Yeah, you can do heated or hype, but you're giving your rants. We save our rays for later.
Yeah, so like good Southerners, we allow our guests to go first. So what has you all heated and hyped?
What is your heated?
Courtney, what has you heated?
Actually, I think you should go Andre because
okay,
Andre. I have to think of a professional way to say what I'm mad about. Okay. And so right, I'm like, let me think about that before I go off the cuff.
Okay, Andre, what has you heated?
What's got me heated is just really I'm just kind of mad at outlets, brands, everybody around this World Cup. I know that Kelsey Trainor posted a tweet a couple days ago saying she hasn't really seen any like hype around the World Cup, and it's like, hey man, we've been trying. That's all I'm gonna say. It's like we've been trying to give people content. We've been trying to like let people know that like we here. We've been following the players. We've been following the sport for years, even before the last World Cup cycle. Before that World Cup cycle, like if you want people who are knowledgeable, you know, about the sport, all the leagues the players play in, all of that, you're gonna. It's going to be tough, but, you know, unfortunately, they just haven't been able to commit the money. It always comes down to money. It almost feels like, you know, I don't want to talk too big about it because it's not just about like me. It's not just about us. It's about fairly covering the athletes. And it's kind of like a parallel problem with, you know, the athletes, you know, especially with the federations had to like fight for legitimacy. And I feel like we're kind of having the same problem because a lot of outlets feel like they can just take the writers that write on other stuff and just parachute in and start talking about women's soccer as if they know things. This is how you end up with misinformation. This is how you end up with a lot of Black players not being recognized or being scrutinized for things that aren't their problem. That's how ultimately you had our podcast created, because the media environment around this sport was so trash that we were like, all right, we're going to do it ourselves. So I'm just really frustrated that I thought we were making some level of progress, but clearly not enough to be able to warrant legitimate coverage being valuable in the eyes of some others. And I think, one, I know the coverage is valuable. They don't know it yet. And that's the frustrating part for me. And that's what's real annoying. So we're going to see a lot of bullshit, y'all. We're going to see a lot of bullshit coming out from a lot of people and a lot of outlets because they don't know what they're talking about. I think I said it on the first crossover. Somebody said Kristen Mewis. I'm just saying, like, we're going to have problems. The Sports Illustrated already started with the cover, right? With the cover of A New Generation. They had Roosevelt and Alex Morgan on the cover. New Generation? Come on. Where's Naomi Girma? Where's Emily Fox? Where's Alana Cook? Where's somebody? Where Alyssa Thompson, right? Like, there's a lot of players, if you want to talk about A New Generation, that you can put on there. And two of the four were players that have played in now multiple World Cups. It doesn't really make a whole lot of sense. So I've just been a little annoyed at that and kind of preparing myself to battle and shake my head at a lot of the bullshit that we're going to see coming out of people who got to go to New Zealand, got to go to Australia to cover live, and they really they don't have the range to do it. But, you know, okay, maybe 2027.
Okay, Reverend.
Yeah, I'm angry about the same thing. It's funny how many of these
outlets try to like posit themselves like, we care about women's soccer. We do. And it's like, no, you don't, because you're not putting the resources behind it. Or you tell people that you're like going to send them places. And so, you know, you get all this hype. And like, also, I want to say, like, going to Australia and New Zealand, and I know that we as like, as people, as American citizens, like, have an immense amount of passport privilege of being able to go to so many places in the world. Like, look, I applied for them visas. That was literally one of the most confusing processes I've ever done in my entire life. Like, trying to do these 17-page visas. And so I'm just deeply frustrated, not only at the state in general of sports media throughout, like, layoffs and things like that, and how generally in the journalism industry, you will have people win Pulitzers, but they're just trying to line the pockets of executives and they make cuts. And that's just also something for another time. That's just deeply frustrating to me. But it's like, y'all can't say that you care about women's soccer, or that you want women's soccer to grow, or that you want to be the home of women's soccer, or whatever you posit yourself to be, and not send someone to the Women's World Cup. About to be the literal biggest Women's World Cup that has ever existed. Even if you're just a U.S.-based company and you want to fully push into the USA propaganda, the U.S. have the chance to become the only nation on the women's side to win 3 consecutive World Cups.
Oh, period.
Period.
No one's ever won 3. Doesn't matter.
No one has ever won 3 consecutive.
Pele's the only person who has 3 trophies and he didn't win them back to back.
Like, you have the chance to do that and you're giving people crumbs. Or you just don't want coverage. And then what's going to happen? We are going to get the same coverage from the same people, and we're going to have the same storylines elevated and spread. And just like Andre was saying, misinformation is going to happen, because honestly, misinformation happens at every single World Cup, men's or women's, because there's so much going on that sometimes like wires get crossed and things like that. But for all of these, also all of these places that sent a bunch of people to Qatar, a bunch of folks to Qatar, and you're not sending a single person to Australia, New Zealand.
That's bullshit.
The men's team got a watch party for their reveal. And while I think the video was certainly an interesting mix of people, but ultimately fun, they didn't get a watch party.
Right.
And I'm sorry, there are 4 stars above that U.S. crest. How many of them belong to the men?
Facts.
Not a single one.
All right. I just wanted to make sure we were on the same page there.
And like, it makes me so, so mad, because also I feel like, like, last year, 2 years ago, people were, like, you almost started to feel, like, a tiny bit of a momentum shift when it was come to just covering women's sports in general. And we know that women's soccer, like, look, the most watched soccer game in this country is a Women's World Cup final.
Mm-hmm.
Like, literally out of top 5, they're, like, 3 out of the top 5, somewhere around there. You know, people care about this team, even with us being like, consistently being like, what are y'all doing? Flacco, what are you doing? People still care so much about this team. Look, even the actors they got today, like, those were huge, huge television stars, or people in and around the game. Like, those are huge people. And you can't tell me that when teams are breaking record numbers for the NWSL, that folks, I know folks who don't even know their local NWSL team and have been hitting me up about the Women's World Cup roster.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You can't tell me that people don't care about it. And it's like, the money you are going to make back, it's going to triple from getting good content out of the Women's World Cup.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can't tell me in 6 months, in a year, that people don't care about women's soccer when you haven't put a single dollar behind it.
Come on now, preacher.
I'm so mad about it.
This is part of the reason why I really want to see, like, apart from all the other reasons we talked about on the crossover, that I really think it makes a lot of sense for Sophia Smith to play the number 9. I want to see it also for outlets to fucking scramble they're going to lose their damn minds if they can't write about Alex Morgan every other piece. And I think that's going to be hilarious. Of course, or they're just going to write about, why isn't she starting? And people are going to have no idea that Sophia Smith has been one of the best players on the planet.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah, I think that's a perspective thing, right? I think I echo what Courtney and Andre said, just in terms of frustration. I'm hoping to still get over there, but it's very much a get there and then figure it out kind of thing. And obviously providing coverage from the States. I think a lot of people are doing that. It's also really fucking expensive to go to Australia and New Zealand. Like, yeah, that's not a cheap trip compared to other places. So that's another area of privilege, and we're already dealing with a sport where it is incredibly exclusionary because of money, right? In this country, at least. I'm going to pivot just a bit, and I'm going to try to keep it short. And this will circle back around to the NWSL, so I just want to say this. My heated is about Tori Bowie, but not just her. So first and foremost, I just want to say, may she continue to rest in peace. Mm-hmm. May the child that she also lost continue to rest in peace. And I'm incredibly pissed and incredibly heated because she should not be dead. We know the numbers. I think it's Black childbearing people or birthing people have a 2.6% higher chance of mortality than their white counterparts. And it is not financial, right? Three of the four women on the 4x100 relay team from the Rio Olympics that won gold have died or almost died in childbirth. These are world-class athletes, one of whom is Allison fucking Felix. Money is no object. Serena Williams almost lost her life. Beyonce Knowles had bleeding. Like, she came pretty close when she gave birth to her twins. So money does not save you. Status does not save you. Health does not save you. And the reason that we die at a higher rate is because we are not seen as human. And our pain is not acknowledged. And we are not given the preventative measures that our particularly white counterparts are. And the reason this comes back down to the NWSL, I hear a lot of talk about, you know, looking into these markets where you're in states where reproductive rights are suppressed, if not altogether eliminated at this point. Obviously, we've had Roe v. Wade overturned in the past year. And all that's devastating and it's horrifying. And until you align racism and fighting racism, anti-racism, as a value on the same level with protecting the reproductive rights of birthing people, your Black players are always going to be screwed. You're not protecting your Black players, plain and simple. It can't just be about reproductive rights. It has to be about racism. These are in tangent. They are not separate. Because our people are dying a heck of a lot more than yours. No one should be dying in a quote-unquote first world country. But I just want the league, the front office, whoever, to hear me when I say that anti-racism has to be a moral, a standard, an obligation. Because until it is, it's about childbirth, it's also about guns, it's also about housing, it's also about health care overall, it's about food insecurity, and it's about the fact that it's going to be real, real hard to get a diverse group of Black people into your sport. Because we go out for our Black players, but for the most part, they come from the same socioeconomic background, because again, the sport is incredibly expensive, and even they aren't. So I need the NWSL to do a gut check. I know there's a million other things happening. You gotta protect your players. And so I hope that's a wake-up call as you see that happening to other athletes and influential people. Like Serena Williams is a team owner. She's an owner for an NWSL team. Like, you should care about that stuff. And you should care about your players. You should care about the children of your players. So yeah, I just wanted to say that. That has me heated because we are dying and it is a crisis and no one seems to care.
Okay. All right, so speaking of not caring about black people. So literally, y'all had the Juneteenth. So this happened over the last weekend.
Oh boy.
And y'all had, it's just one day. It's not a month. It's not multiple months. It's just one day. And y'all couldn't do that. So we saw Sponge Teeth. We saw SpongeBob.
Sponge Teeth.
Juneteenth celebration.
So I'll never forgive him for that.
And then in Louisville. So by the way, when you're trying to bring in more culture into the league, you literally have black people who aren't soccer people all on Twitter upset about this shit. On top of us being upset, who are soccer fans, but you literally kind of dis a whole franchise totally pushed, soured the tone of soccer, doing that nonsense. People were spitting crazy stuff trying to blame CBS. That's illogical. No. But like the concept of even you being unaware to literally, like, even if you weren't going to celebrate it on this day, like you literally had a Juneteenth celebration for the men's side, do it for your women's side, race in Louisville. Or seeing teams kind of be kind of flippant. I watched a whole national anthem be butchered by a sister girl in San Diego. Like, it's like, hold these things dear, because like people from various cultures care, you know what I'm saying? And as a black person, it's literally one day, man. Y'all can't get the day right, can't get the month right. Like, what do you think the ramifications are as you, most of you teams sit in black markets? The only team that's kind of, that doesn't have that impact, the two teams are Seattle and Portland. And if you look at the history of the West Coast, you know why. But everybody else, y'all sitting in a big ass black market. You sitting in markets where literally 30, 40, 50%, hell, DC, most of it is black. And you aren't being aware of the perceptions of things that you're doing. So it was really frustrating. And it's not just for black people, it's other cultures too. Not even understand the nuances of players that are multicultural. Y'all struggling with Alyssa Thompson. Like literally having care and grace when you do these heritage nights. Even being genuine when we talk about pride. Just because you wearing rainbows don't mean I believe that you actually are allied. Be performative as hell. But like, what are you genuinely doing to connect back? Don't be having these what do you call them, uniforms, kits you donate into toxic organizations, MLS. Like, doing things that aren't illogical and not having care and grace, it has impact. It's really frustrating. I'm tired of y'all shenanigans. Y'all really did. Y'all took it to some new levels, man. Y'all said, fuck these books from 2020. Y'all said, fuck these y'all. So, I mean, shit. Do y'all want diversity? Do y'all just want to be white and broke? Like, just, like, let us know. But yeah, please do better. That's all I got.
Not only is Juneteenth one day, it's the same day every
year. Oh, that part.
It's the 19th of June every single year, and we don't get Black History Month during the season.
Just right. Saying. Black History Month is the same day, same year, same month of the year. So are the other heritage months. So mm-hmm. Like this bullshit of having to get called out by people, like you literally plan for it, y'all. Like, what are we doing? Anyway, I wish y'all cared about culture so y'all not broke. But anyway, we gonna do some.
are we doing hypes?
No, we gonna do some. Well, we just gonna save hits and riffs for later. I thought we gonna hype it out.
Maybe we do heated and hits and riffs.
Yeah, let's do that. Cake, thank you.
Okay,
we're doing hits and riffs. Thank you. All right, who's going first? Guest. One of y'all, who going?
I'll go first. All right. What are the names of my hype up and my quiet storm?
Okay, wow.
It's okay.
They're not that. They're just music I've been listening to. I've truly, in particular, have been listening very, very specifically to the After Laughter album from Paramore. Black people love Paramore. I am a black person that loves Paramore. But particularly the songs Fake Happy and Hard Times have just speaking right to my soul. And then what else I've been listening to? R.I.P. Tina Turner. But I've been listening to a whole lot of Tina Turner. And in particular, I have this kind of chaotic thing where I listen to covers of the best but then I play the best by Tina, and then I listen to another cover and I play the best. Don't ask me why I'm like this, but it's been getting me through. And so, but that between that, and then I listened to Proud Mary literally for 30 minutes straight on my last flight, because I was going to lose it. And I was like, if I just listen to the, what is it? Well, I did have Wi-Fi on my flight, so I watched the Amsterdam version that's uploaded on YouTube. And so that was getting me through. So a lot of Tina Turner and Paramore.
Okay.
Andre, what have you been listening to?
Yeah, RIP Tina as well. Tina was so dope. Mm-hmm. Just an extremely dope human.
Queen of rock and roll.
Am glad that a lot of people celebrated her without mentioning that motherfucker. So, because you need to do that. For me, there's been a new song that was dropped by Baby Keem and Kendrick called The Hillbillies. It's just a vibe. I just really love like the beat of that song. It's just dope. I kind of like just vibing out with that song. And then, you know, I go back, throwback. A Tribe Called Quest, a war tour. Been listening to that just because every now and then I'll just kind of get in like an old school rap phase. And that song, every now and then you just forget, like, you kind of assume that the production of songs like nowadays is like so much better. And some of it is, but yo, back in the day, they did some different things with some beats that were really, really dope. And this is one of those. So like, yeah, kind of reminds me of like, oh yeah, yeah, okay, this holds up. I vibe with this. So yeah, I was good. Those are my two that I've been listening to kind of a bit nonstop with some, you know, Tina in between, because RIP once again.
Sky, you go.
No, you go.
You went last on the last segment. You should
no,
go.
You go. I got a plan. You go. Thank you.
All right. Mine are, I mean, listen, Janelle Monae has absolutely upended our group chat. it's become a different place. Her power is very real. Oh man, oh,
the
man.
Power she has over the group chat.
The power she the
tears
has.
Are over tears,
our chat.
Tears are
tears. Tears are real.
But I've obviously been listening to Age of Pleasure. Float is kind of becoming an anthem, so that's the one I chose. I rolled my windows down and cranked that today. It felt very good. Also been on Victoria Monet kick, so the new On My Mama, which is a sample, but also works well. Then my throwbacks, I have been listening to Superstar on repeat. I don't know why, but Usher Superstars. And then Trophies, Young Money Crew, and everyone's favorite emotional terrorist, Drake.
What? Wow. Okay. All right. So... all right. Okay.
You never heard me say that before. He's an emotional.
No, I'm yeah, yeah. This is a group chat with the crawfish.
Oh God.
Okay.
I'm scared.
All right. So I really just got throwbacks. So let me play that one. Yeah, I got me some A Piece of My Love. My guy, dedicated to you, girl. I'm just playing. And then also Caught Up in the Nature. Oh shit. Well, that's loud. And then everybody's been doing that damn the Tamia song, Can't Get Enough. Y'all can do the dance. Can y'all do the
I know you usually don't hear me talk like this.
But anyway, that little dance, you know, you're doing the little two-step, turn step, flip-flop, drop, all that's real complicated. And then, of course, just my favorite, like, WAP. Y'all don't be WAPing out here with J-Dash. You know, you got to get that.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh. Okay, yeah. WAP. You got to WAP. 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 Yeah, that's my songs.
My mama loves that song.
Got to do the WAP. WAP. It's a whole.
She loves it.
Okay. But yeah, those are my songs.
My mom Stay Fly. It's her jam.
Really? My mom also loves the wobble.
My mom likes to embarrass me with a couple of songs. I'm not repeating those. There's some, because then that's fuel for the fire for roommate Alex to drive me insane. But yeah, that's it. See, that was quick. Oh, my bad. That's not it. There's some raves. What are your raves? My bad.
We're doing hypes.
hypes, raves, hypes.
Our guests, I will defer to you. What has your hype?
I'll say mine is easy and quick. I just, as much as frustrated as I am with like the surrounding aspects of some of the World Cup in terms of, you know, media coverage and everything else that I've talked about, I'm extremely excited for this tournament. I think it's going to be dope. I think even you got like big teams, unfortunately, because of injury, you got big teams that are struggling a little bit, like England, who was looking real dominant at the Euros and less dominant now. Same with the U.S. team. I think there are a lot of question marks, which we talked, did a whole pod on. So listen to that. But I also think like teams like Germany are going to come out of like not really come out of nowhere, but I don't think the mainstream is really ready for them, at least here in the U.S. I also think the mainstream globally isn't really ready for that Brazil squad and what they might be capable of. And same with Japan. And even same with Australia. I think you're going to see some very, very exciting, interesting young players that people aren't yet, like that aren't yet household names, but they will be very soon.
Okay. Or do you have a rave, Courtney?
I'm excited for the European men's season to be over. Well, that it ended. Good for me personally. I mean, I am excited for this World Cup. I am frustrated, but I don't know. I won't hop, skip, and jump over to Australia, but there is still a chance that I'm gonna go, and so I don't know. It doesn't really feel real right now, and I've gone through like literally an array of emotions over the past few days, but if I do get the chance to go, I am genuinely so excited about that.
Sky.
I don't know. I guess my rave is, you know, it's summer. So, guns out, sun's out, thighs out, we out in the streets. Although, also, I'm raving about my xylophone. There is a dope segment on the way. I'm going to get me a gold-plated whistle. Shout out.
No. Where did you get a xylophone?
Oh, you'll see. You'll see later. Me and Alexandria have been talking about it. Y'all think I'm crazy. Y'all don't believe. You will see. It's a dope thing that's coming on the way. I forgot she played the sax, and she plays on the little keys. We about to be out here. Y'all about to be sick of me. We going to get some decked-out whistles. To deep, 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 deep.
There's all over the place. There's like five like shady things I want to say that I can't because it can't be. So I won't do that. I know I have a few quick ones. I think like both of our guests, I'm super hyped about the World Cup despite frustrations. I'm really excited to see the breakout stars, particularly because so many of them will be black. Like I'm just so hyped to see young black girls ball. Like I've been waiting for this. And my hope is to be in Australia for that France Brazil game because injected all of it into my veins. Speaking of melanated excellence, only on the pitch, damned if the US men's team might not be sucking me back in.
They got me so hard.
It got me. I think they've got me. It's almost all black boys and Slim Shady. Like,
not Slim Shady.
Wow.
He got me ball, so though. Hard.
His parents are trash, but he can ball. He's a beautiful. He plays beautiful football. But my son Timothy, like, just heart. Love me some Timothy Weah. That's my one. I'll die on the hill for that kid. Yeah, they're really fun and they're good. They seem like really good young men, certainly compared to those that came before them, particularly when it comes to the women's team and sort of how they interact and where they stand. But y'all, they're fun. And I gave up on the men after 2017, but it's a new day and they had to hit rock bottom to be this, but man, this version of it's kind of fun. So we'll see how I feel when 2026 comes, or even next year, doing Copa or whatever we're doing with combining countries, but and federations. But yeah, that's my hype.
They got me so. Seeing them in person is like a wildly different experience. they got me.
Yeah.
So I'm rooting for all of their success. And I'm like, no! How did you do this to me? I want all of them to succeed.
All my sons. Yeah.
Why did you do this? All of them.
They're very likable.
They're so likable. Oh, it kills me.
I don't think I've ever seen a U.S. men's team where I'm like, they're really likable.
Yeah. And the wild thing is, they're mad likable and Pulisic is still playing for them. And he's not likable at all. But the rest of them.
Yeah.
It almost like covers him, I guess. Yes. Because everybody else is so likable. You're kind of like, that's fine.
Yeah.
He also had a really funny moment when one of his. During the World Cup when he got injured down there and he came back and he had the phone up taping everyone looking like a meme. I was like, dang, all of you are so... Weston?
He's the least worst version of himself. When
he is the least worst version of himself.
Yeah, I was
kind of cringing. They're all so likable.
I was cringing because I was like, yo, this is kind of dope. Oh, no.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, no.
You see how much fun it is when your team's mostly black?
Yeah. You be wanting to be... You be like,
we could be great on both sides, but...
We could be like, this could be us. This could be us.
But y'all playing.
You playing games. But yeah.
Tell you.
That's it. Wait, do I have a hype? No, we already went there.
You did.
Just having a coach. Just having, looking at tactics on the field. Just, it was a good experience. That's all I got.
Yes.
But yeah, anyway, that's it. We appreciate you, tall ones.
Yes.
Thank you for coming on our show.
Appreciate y'all.
Sticking it out. Appreciate
Thanks
you.
For having us.
Do y'all have any announcements or anything? No.
Nah.
Okay. well, shout out to our
not.
Listeners. Oh, shit. Yes. No. No.
Yep. I don't think so. At least not yet.
Maybe we'll see. Subscribe to our Patreon.
Oh. Ooh, oh.
Oh. That, breaking news to me.
I meant to text you about it earlier, and then I decided to lie down on my bed.
Doing diaspora business on the news to me.
Breaking news.
I literally meant to. I probably dreamed that I texted you about it while I was taking a nap.
Well, surprise!
Y'all woke me up from a nap yesterday.
We did. We're here.
They're like, "Is Courtney alive?" And I was like, "I don't know what day it is or what time it is."
But
I knew she was asleep.
But yes, shout out to our Texas fam, all y'all. It's a lot of y'all.
Too many.
It's too many, and we over time. And then shout out to Strength Team, Nubia, Georgia, JG, Roommate Alex, Ebony, Sumukario, Maya. Support kicks undefined.
Yes. There you go. You got it right.
I did do it right last time. Don't do that. She's also like a superstar. She's like in MLS soccer, Marvel get up situation. Support. Shout out to the Penny Derby. All y'all who support. Oh, that should have been a rant. That's a whole. We'll talk about that later. Yogi Cal. Shout out to y'all for having a black situation in Richmond. Congrats to who won?
We're not talking about it. The other team, the bad guys.
Okay, all right. So, okay, Richmond Kicker fan. Not the Richmond Kickers. But shout out to everybody who went. I'm glad a lot of the family went to go and connect and convene and commune. And shout out to our patrons. We actually got episodes that we're going to record. Gal Pal Sports, Carolyn Needles are sponsors. Shout out. Thank y'all for the love, everything. Thank you for the support. And so on that note, we gonna stay hydrated,
stay melanated,
and we gonna make sure the black women in your life are celebrated,
and make sure your shea butter bombs are always elevated.
And also, happy birthday, Courtney! One more time, it's
an ongoing
thing.
Happy birthday! Happy birthday!
This is the worst thing ever.
I think we should play the CB version as the outro song. That's what I think.
No, because we can't do that.
We won't
exist no more.
Shea Butter FC is about to disappear.
Because I cannot afford to pay Stevie. I cannot. All right.
Happy birthday. Happy
please.
Happy
birthday. Oh my God.
So everybody say happy birthday. If you see Courtney in the street, say happy birthday. Even in July. But yeah. All right.
Appreciate hit her up. Send a happy birthday tweet.
Don't do that, please. Oh my God.
Give us your best birthday rap. Yeah, leave a review. Give us your best birthday rap for Courtney. Anyway.
If you do that, I will actually laugh at that.
Okay. But with that said, all right. So peace, blessings, happy pride, all that. Peace. Bye. Everybody say bye.
Sponge teeth.
Bye. Oh, bye. Yeah, have you sponge teeth. Bye.
Stop.
SpongeBob is a black man. Bye.
Stop!
Try.